Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. As we are reminded on a regular basis, the population of seniors, including boomers, has been growing quickly and will reach unprecedented numbers soon. Of the many issues that we will be impacted by are transportation and driving in particular. This is going to require innovation if seniors are to remain as mobile and independent as most assume they want to be. Enter the self-driving car. Already tested to varying degrees in various locations, the technology is advancing rapidly. Today's articles relay the advances being made, attitudes about autonomous and semi-autonomous vehicles, and the need for them. They include, from the Huffington Post's blog, October 24, 2016, Self-Driving Cars, Transforming Mobility for the Elderly and People with Disabilities, by Jules Polinsky and Henry Claypool. From the March 23, 2017 New York Times, Self-Driving Cars Could Be a Boon for the Aged After Initial Hurdles, by Mary M. Chapman. From The Incline, Pittsburgh Pedestrians, Cyclists, Mostly Okay with Self-Driving Cars, and by Bike PGH, March 2017. And finally, from the New York Times, December 2016 opinion, Google wants driverless cars, but do we? By Jamie Lincoln Kitman. Beginning with the Huffington Post, Self-Driving Cars, Transforming Mobility for the Elderly and People with Disabilities. The federal government recently released guidance that will hasten the rollout of self-driving cars on American roads. The roads will not be filled with driverless cars tomorrow. But these smart, efficient vehicles are already operating in some cities, and they will become widespread more quickly than most drivers think. Automakers and technology companies are making significant strides toward the connected car future. New sensor and autonomous technologies are being announced weekly, and the administration has made commitments to support these developments and accelerate their rollout. Sensor and autonomous technologies can transform automotive safety and convenience for pre-existing American drivers. But they can do more. They can increase mobility for the elderly and Americans with disabilities who may be constrained from driving altogether. As most people take having transportation options as a given, people with disabilities and the elderly may benefit most from these new developments. Autonomous driving technology has the potential to transform life for populations that are not able to get a driver's license today. People with epilepsy and blind people are constantly managing the logistical challenges associated with getting groceries, taking the kids to school, or going out for the evening, or just not going out at all. The employment rate for people with disabilities continues to decline even after the modest recovery from the Great Recession. Game-changing technology has the potential to halt this decline and hopefully allow more people with disabilities to go to work each day as these barriers to transportation are taken down by technology. Of course, new technology needs to be safe before it can be rolled out to a broad set of users, and privacy commitments will be necessary to ensure that the data used to power the sophisticated algorithms that enable autonomous vehicle navigation will be protected. But the measures used to manage safety and data must be informed by the needs of both the general consumers who are going to benefit from the safety and benefits of the people with disabilities who will gain from the mobility enabled by truly driverless cars. To address some of the concerns about data management in connected vehicles, the Auto Alliance and global automakers last year released privacy principles for vehicle technologies and services to establish baseline principles for privacy in this area. However, some critics worried that the pervasive focus more on technicalities of autonomous vehicles than actual safety concerns have led to a scenario where these vehicles will only be driven by individuals with licenses. The California Department of Motor Vehicles has taken this path with its proposed regulation for autonomous vehicles that require a human driver to be inside the car at all times. However, the Federal Department of Transportation, or DOT, seems to be on a wiser path. In a formal letter, the DOT allowed for the possibility that autonomous vehicles could operate on U.S. roads without a human driver at the wheel. In fact, Sam Schmidt recently received the first license restricted to an autonomous vehicle in the United States. The DOT's recently released guidance, Federal Automated Vehicles Policy, provides guidelines for the safe deployment of automated safety technology. The DOT emphasizes that technologies with proven data-supported benefits that would make roads safer should be encouraged. The guidelines contain a new 15-point safety assessment that includes a call for vehicle manufacturers and others to ensure basic privacy protections, such as transparency and choice. The guidance was developed with expert input from industry and other stakeholders and effectively opens up a wealth of new opportunities to transportation for persons with disabilities by thoughtfully considering the unique needs of this population in the design, development, and policy for autonomous vehicles. The DOT's approach means vital technology could reach those in need much sooner than it could under some states' rules. Although the states have often played a valuable role in rushing to be the first in consumer protection issues, here hasty overreaction could slow and limit the advances that will save lives and empower people with disabilities. This dynamic is at the core of the development and deployment of fully autonomous vehicles. If measures like the requirements in California that a licensed driver be behind the wheel at all times, with no parallel process for the fully autonomous vehicles to continue road testing, people with disabilities will once again be left behind, waiting for the technology to be refined for licensed drivers before it can be applied to those with the greatest mobility needs. With reasonable rules that take into account public safety while allowing fully autonomous vehicles on the road now, more people with disabilities that cannot drive will be able to experience the opportunity that may have been non-existent in the face of a disability. The lack of mobility after an accident can be a crushing blow, in some ways equal to the original injury. If technology can help alleviate that, we should not stand in the way. The benefits for facilitating the deployment of autonomous vehicles are so compelling, and policymakers should be doing all they can to smooth and speed the way for these technologies to improve as quickly as possible. It is necessary to ensure that we benefit from this technology when it can be safely used to transport populations, young and old, who currently can't drive. Applying current best practices around data privacy, paired with existing federal enforcement mechanisms, should facilitate, not stall, this opportunity. Jules Polensky is Chief Executive Officer of Future Privacy Forum, a nonprofit organization that serves as catalyst for privacy leadership and scholarship, advancing principled data practices in support of emerging technologies. And Henry Claypool is Policy Director of the Community Living Policy Center at UCSF. Going on now to the New York Times, self-driving cars could be a boon for the aged, after initial hurdles, by Mary M. Chapman. Single, childless, and 68, Stephen Gold has begun to think about future mobility and independence. Although in good health, he can foresee a time when he won't be a confident driver, if he can drive at all. While he hopes to continue to live in his suburban Detroit home, he wonders how he will be able to get to places like his doctor's office and the supermarket if his driving becomes impaired. For Mr. Gold and other older adults, self-driving cars might be a solution. The number of United States residents age 70 and older is projected to increase to 53.7 million by 2030, from 30.9 million in 2014, according to the Institute for Highway Safety. Nearly 16 million people 65 and older live in communities where public transportation is poor or non-existent. That number is expected to grow rapidly as baby boomers remain outside of cities. The aging of the population converging with autonomous vehicles might close the coming mobility gap for an aging society, said Joseph Coughlin, the director of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Age Lab in Cambridge. He said that 70% of those over age 50 live in the suburbs, a figure he expects to remain steady despite a recent rise in moves to urban centers. Further, 92% of older people want to age in place, he said. Mr. Coughlin said on-demand services like Uber and Lyft were viable alternatives to autonomous cars, but are not available in many areas where older adults live. Although these companies now offer limited app-free services, some older people are wary of riding with strangers and being able to identify the right vehicle. For his part, Mr. Gold said such services were too expensive for regular use. Doris Alexander, a retired registered nurse who lives in Chicago, recently tried Uber for the first time, enjoyed it, and cannot envision going driverless. "I wouldn't know how to act," said Ms. Alexander, 77, who typically relies on public transportation. "The concept that I'm in a car, the car is driving, and I have no driver, it's just something that's a little too strange for me." In many cases, as with Mr. Gold, there are no children around to provide transportation. A recent study led by Dr. Maria Torella Carney of Northwell Health in Great Neck, New York, found that 22% of baby boomers are now or at risk of becoming so-called elder orphans with limited access to transportation. "If I were still a good driver in a few years, I'd consider a semi-autonomous car," said Mr. Gold, who lives in Oak Park, Michigan, and drives a 2015 Honda Fit. "And if I were in a situation where driving was too physically difficult, then I'd consider a fully autonomous car." Along with other firms, automakers including Audi, General Motors, Ford Motor, Nissan, Honda, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, and BMW are all in the race to reduce or eliminate the amount of time a person in a vehicle is actually driving. There are several levels of autonomy, going in stages from driver assistance to full automation. For example, by 2020, Honda is aiming to bring to market a vehicle with a high level of automated capability in highway situations. By year's end, Volvo plans to put highly automated XC90 vehicles in the hands of real-world drivers in Sweden as part of its Volvo Drive Me program. Within the next 4 years, BMW hopes to have cars on the street with mid-level automation. BMW and other companies are also working on driverless prototypes that have no steering wheel, brake, or gas pedal. Still, a world in which fully automated cars are common remains many years away. "It's all going to be a slow transition," said Nicole Carrier, director of public relations for Edmunds.com. "There will be a fundamental shift, but it won't be overnight." The spectrum of vehicles eventually coming to market will allow older drivers to consider the types that suit them best. For example, some auto manufacturers are developing semi-autonomous systems that give drivers seconds to prepare to re-engage to avoid collision, and will pull to the side of the road if re-engagement is not detected. Experts say such systems may not be optimal for those who take some medications or may have difficulty reorienting themselves. Keep in mind that driving abilities vary among older adults, said Dr. Nir Barzale, director of the Institute for Aging Research at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx. It's not chronological age that's important. It's biological, he said. There are 100-year-old drivers who are fine and some 60-year-olds who shouldn't be on the road. James Kenyon is a Detroit franchise owner of Visiting Angels, an agency that provides non-medical home care for seniors. From what he has observed, older seniors could have a difficult time adjusting to driverless technology. It's a whole mindset change for the elderly to have something that they can't control, and even getting their children to buy into it, Mr. Kenyon said. Theoretically, it sounds great, but there are so many possible impediments that have to be worked out, like if there's a problem, what do they do? One fear is ending up at the wrong destination, a worry that should not be paramount, said Oliver Rumpf-Stepat, head of BMW's United States Product Requirements Engineering Division. Although autonomous car production is still in the test phase, he said vehicles would most likely rely on voice recognition systems. You can say, take me to the eye doctor or grocery store. It will come back and ask which one, he said. Most of the time, we get it right. Marcus Rothoff also hopes to assuage concerns. He is the project leader of the Volvo Drive Me program, which aims to include 100 Swedish drivers over several months. One goal, he said, is to see how older drivers handle the new technology. We need people who are a bit skeptical about autonomous driving. Otherwise, we will not learn how to build trust and understand their views and expectations, he said. One important group is senior drivers. Ultimately, the driver interface and interaction needs to be so intuitive that no training is needed. Mr. Coughlin said purveyors of autonomous technology would be smart to keep older drivers in mind. If seniors don't trust the technology and don't like giving up control, he said, it will slow down the business dramatically. And going on now to the incline, Pittsburgh pedestrians and cyclists mostly okay with self-driving cars. Due to their cautious driving, many Pittsburghers said they felt safe cycling or walking next to self-driving cars, per survey results from advocacy group Bike PGH, and the majority of respondents said they were in favor of having the cars on local streets. Roughly 88% of the advocacy group's members and 82% of the general public either approve or are neutral about using Pittsburgh streets as a testing ground for self-driving cars, according to Bike PGH's survey. About two-thirds to three-fourths of all respondents said self-driving cars have the potential to reduce injuries and fatalities. Self-driving car research and development in Pittsburgh continues to expand. Four companies are doing this work in the city: Carnegie Mellon University, Uber, Delphi, and Argo AI Ford. For the past 6 months, Uber has allowed Pittsburghers to ride in their self-driving vehicles, but public perception has been a mix, with many expressing concerns about safety and the impact on future jobs. For its survey, Bike PGH collected feedback from both members as well as the general public, for a total of 1,119 responses. Questions ranged from safety to the future of self-driving cars to potential regulations and how Bike PGH can help cyclists and pedestrians. The results will help Bike PGH with its approach to advocacy, including working with lawmakers and education around self-driving cars. Alexandria Schutzkid, Communications and Marketing Manager for Bike PGH, previously told The Incline. Bike PGH is also keeping its Submit Autonomous Vehicle Experience, or SAVE, form open for anyone to share their experience with the organization. Bike PGH called the results surprising in a press release, noting the advocacy organization had previously received several email complaints about self-driving cars. While our own personal experience riding and walking alongside self-driving cars has been mostly positive, we believe that the introduction of these vehicles to our streets deserves a larger conversation, Eric Borer, Bike PGH Advocacy Director, said in the release. As far as we know, we are the first organization collecting these stories from bicyclists and pedestrians. Other highlights? While most respondents agreed self-driving cars should be regulated, their opinions varied on what those should be. Most people said they felt safer cycling and walking next to self-driving vehicles because the cars travel the speed limit, they don't block crosswalks at red lights, and they use turn signals, unlike all human drivers. Some people, however, said because self-driving cars are so cautious, it makes interaction unpredictable, given that usual aggressive drivers are the norm. And finally, going on to Google Wants Driverless Cars, But Do We? By James Lincoln Kittman. Love was in the air as President-elect Donald Trump's summit meeting with tech executives. Alphabet, Google's parent company, was really feeling it, coming as it did a day after the company announced that its self-driving technology was ready for commercialization. The meeting was a giant green light for the industry and the multi-trillion dollar investment it will represent, the cost largely to be borne by consumers and government. Automobile, telecom, tech, and e-commerce industries and their marketers have spent the last decade enabling the public's addiction to wired living, working feverishly to bring the phone and the internet into the driving environment. And yet, this trend has never been voted on or discussed seriously by our politicians. Even when the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation brought industry leaders to Washington for hearings last spring, congressional interlocutors sought mainly to have their guests tell them how government could help usher in this new age of driverless technology. The assumption was, game on. In the glorious future, we are assured that driverless cars will save lives, reduce accidents, ease congestion, curb energy consumption, and lower harmful emissions. These purported benefits contain elements of truth, but the data is nowhere near complete. Even stipulating that all the claimed benefits will one day materialize, the near and midterm picture from a public interest perspective is not the same favorable one that industry sees. Legitimate areas of question and concern remain. Take, for instance, the safety benefits of self-driving cars that include avoiding tens of thousands of highway deaths each year. The truth is, no one knows for sure how many lives could be saved by driverless cars because data on the role of human error in crashes is incomplete and misleading, relying heavily on self-reporting. The types of accidents we'll face in this automated future, in which these cars are meant to run together in proximity at high speed, may be fewer, but they'll be new, different, unpredictable, and, on occasion, larger and more grisly than the ones we know today. When 1,700 people leave the New Jersey Turnpike at more or less the same moment, all headed for the same parking spot near the food court at Vince Lombardi Rest Area, you don't want to be there. Yes, jobs will be created by these new cars, but many will be lost. Millions of truck and taxi drivers will be out of work, and owing to the rise of car sharing and app-based car services, people may buy fewer vehicles, meaning automakers and their suppliers could be forced to shed jobs. Then there's the infrastructure. Huge investments in the new infrastructure are a given, but huge investments in old infrastructure will also be needed. Many of these new generation cars require smooth roads with clearly painted lines to safely position themselves, potholes, worn paint, and other irregularities. Standard fare on too many of today's roads will potentially become even greater safety hazards than they are now. Where will the resources to maintain and repair roads and bridges, an effort already underfunded by more than $1 trillion, come from? And we have thought about security? No, not enough. Today's cars can be hacked easily. New protocols must be agreed on, and even then, nefarious actors will learn how to remotely start and stop cars, steer them, steal them, crash them, or even take them hostage. Senator Edward J. Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, attempted to address security issues at the hearing last spring, proposing rules governing consumer privacy and anti-hacking requirements. But the invited companies balked at regulation. For those of a dystopian bent, imagine the day when the local constable locks your doors and instructs your car to drive you to the station for questioning. And what about the interim period when conventional vehicles share the road with automated ones? One of the claims made for autonomous cars is that they can be lighter, shedding heavy metal crash cells and expensive safety gear like airbags, saving fuel. That's great until the old-school pickup with the old-fashioned drunken driver T-bones your Google car. What's more, are we ready to give up on mass transit? In a world where our elected officials can't see fit to fund and fairly price much-needed public transportation, it's hard to imagine these new automated car expenses will free up money for trains and trams. And yet, many cities are so crowded they don't have room for more cars. Even automated electric cars congest. We humans can't seem to put our phones down, and industry leaders don't want us to. The risk of distracted driving may be one of the strongest arguments for driverless cars, but distracted driving could be reduced simply by disabling phones in moving cars. Well, that's a lot to think about. I, for one, am eager to follow the advances in self-driving technology. Are you? Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.